Mm-hmm.
And we recognize how important that he was, and his music was, and his legacy. You're part of the same legacy from the same period of time. Talk to us for a minute about people like, that I would consider contemporaries of yours, like Jimi Hendrix, like the Chambers Brothers, like Richie Havens.
Chambers Brothers.
Okay, talk about the Chambers Brothers for a minute.
I love the Chambers Brothers. What I love about the Chambers Brothers is their heart. Okay, we knew them, man. The Chambers Brothers had a... they were one of the few groups that I feel in my spirit that was genuine from the heart, you know, and not a lot of artists were like that. Some people just play.
Hold that thought.
Okay,
we're at 125th Street, and we and we're getting ready to get off of this train, and we're gonna
pick it up later.
We're gonna pick it up. The great, the legendary Mr. Freddie Stone. We're back on the A train. We just got through at the Apollo Theater taking a look here, a little business, and we're going to pick up the conversation with a little discussion about the Chambers Brothers and Richie Havens and Jimi Hendrix and Santana and the whole Woodstock thing.
Those names that you mentioned, Chambers Brothers, Richie Havens, Santana, as well as I might add, you know, Creedence Clearwater, you know, Janis Joplin, and a lot of the other artists, The Who, Grateful Dead, a lot of those, the artists that are, who are our peers, and, you know, those that we work with, and sometimes we even share the same marquee, same kind of billing. The one thing that I really appreciate as I look back on it is that every group was unique in its own way. Every group had its own distinct sound. Every group had a particular message. And, you know, and in that time, it seemed like everyone was more or less speaking from the heart on different sides of America. Some approached those who were in turmoil, those who were suffering, and some of them were addressing that type of an issue. Sly and the Family Stone, we had a tendency to, or Sly had a tendency to feel the pulse of the people, and in our songs, we let the people know that we understood, you know, what they were going through. We understood society, what the trials that certain segments of society had to put up with, or the things that we had to go through. And our main purpose at that time was to encourage, you know, not just our brothers and sisters, or if you want, you can say, yeah, our brothers and sisters, because as you know, our group was, as the some of the other artists termed the phrase innovative. They said that we were innovators. Well, our group was, you know, consisted of not just black but white, not just black and white, but we had ladies in it. And it turned out to where we were able, I guess providential, if you ask me, we were able to have a very good feel for what was going on in society because of what's going on in our group. And we knew that there's no reason under the sun that every nation, every kindred, every ethnic background could easily work together. And so when we were confronted with different issues, we were out when the Black Panther movement was out. We were out when people wanted other people to be Muslims. We were out when there was a deeper prejudice in the South. We were out when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, and yet we were living witnesses that everybody can get along. Everybody can work together, and everyone can be focused and do something positive and beneficial for the whole if they would just work together.
Let me ask you this, Freddie. We just got through walking through Harlem for the past 45 minutes or so. Now, I know you've been to Harlem before. Sly and the Family Stone has played the Apollo Theater before. What are your impressions in the year 2001, you know, fast-forwarding it from the early 70s and late 60s, of what we saw today as we walked through the streets?
Ah, well, Just, well, number one, there's a lot more people. You know, that's been 29, 30 years ago. Since the last time I walked the streets of Harlem. There's a lot more people, a lot more going on the streets. It seems to be the mindset of the African-American seems to be focused, the intensity of the African-American has been turned up. Some good, some, in my view, some good, not so good, you know, I sense that the warrior in the African American has risen to the top, so to speak. And you know, we have champions now, and people are coming out regardless of what the establishment is saying, or regardless of what society has said. Somehow or another, we have been able to maneuver through all what has gone on in the past, and we're rising up. And as I said earlier, some of it looks good, some of it looks bad, but that's no different than anything else in society.
Well, you know, I'm going to use that as a segue. This may not be a perfect segue, but it's going to be a segue nonetheless. to talk a bit about your new CD, because I want to talk about I want you to talk about how that CD is meaningful in the year 2001. And I know a lot of people haven't heard it. You know, I'm one of the, you know, I feel fortunate that I've been able to hear it and report on it. But I want you to talk about that CD and, you know, talk about what it means to you.
Well, to me, the CD that I've been blessed to just finish recently has been out locally on the West Coast. It's called Everywhere You Are. And what I attempt to do on the CD is sort of remind man and woman, you know, girl and boy, that they really are special. There's one song that's entitled, You Got Everything It Takes to Make It. You know that you are beautiful in God's sight. And there's a lyric on there that says, there's no need to fake it. You don't have to be anybody else. You're going to be successful only as you be yourself. You got to be real, and be real all the time. There's another song, which is the title cut, Everywhere You Are, reminding everyone that wherever you go, God is, and I believe in God, and I believe that there is an intelligence that is orchestrating everything that is being done. There's never a time when you are not without hope. If you remember that there is someone who really has your best interest at heart, and so you don't have to lose courage. There's another song on there that says, I see something good in you. And it's a reminder to let people know that I don't care what someone says about you. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care if you have been abused. You need to know that you've been put on this planet for a purpose, and that there is something good in you. It's another way of saying everybody is a star, you know, and I think people should remember that. And many times we some people are called to remind people about their sexuality, and that's their purpose. My call is to remind people about the inherent goodness that's in them, and that they don't have to look down, that there's something good inside of you. Don't worry about what people say. You got everything it takes to make it. You know, you are beautiful, and God sees you that way. So you might as well start looking at yourself the way God looks at you. And many times, in fact, every time, if you change your perspective, you know, that's the beginning of having a productive and successful life.
Okay, now, with all that being said, I don't want none of y'all to be scared by that, because the CD is still funky too.
You know, I might add, you know, the Sly came to me one day and said, Freddie, we're going to have one group, and then let's start a group. You know, so I'm one of the co-founders along with Larry Graham, and y'all know about him. Mr. Bay's man, Gregor Rico, great drummer, Jerry Martini, fantastic tenor player, Cynthia Robinson, great trumpet player, Rose, my sister, of course, beautiful, angelic voice and musician. When I did this CD, it was just going to be absolutely normal and natural for this CD to have the kind of flavor that the Family Stone had, because you don't walk away from who you are, and you don't even try.
It's a great album. You know, I hope you all can pick it up. Freddie's got a website that you can go visit, and he on his website, he talks about the history of Sly and the Family Stone, and it's a little bit different than what the commonly held perception of it is. Even though everybody knows that it was a unified group, still, you know, here it is 30 years later, people kind of talk about it as if, you know, it's just one man and a backup band, when that was pretty far from the truth, right, Fred?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Sly had a genius, a way of taking the a good look at each member of the band, and knowing how to pull the best out of that particular musician. And he had a way of sculpting a song, and then and leaving all the holes in the song for each musician to put his or her own self into the song. And so when you hear Sly and the Family Stone, you hear something that has the parameters of Sly and the mindset of Sly, and you see his vision, and the musicians and the music that you hear is each individual's spirit playing to the drum beat that has been set up by Sly, who is a genius. And like that song says, you know, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Well, he is heavy, and he is my brother.
Can you tell everybody out there the URL for your website in case they want to go check it out?
Pardon me?
The URL for your website?
Oh, our website is www.stonesism.com. By the way, Stone Sism, that's one word, Sism, C-I-S-U-M. That's just music spelled backwards. Okay, if you go there, I'm sure you'll be blessed. And everyone that goes there, thank you for letting me be myself again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Freddie Stone. On that note, I wouldn't dare say anything else.
Welcome to the SoulPatrol.net radio. Check it out. Can you handle that?
things you want are real. There's a midget standing tall. the things you want are real.
sometimes you never know who's listening to your music. Obviously, Barry was listening to Sly and the Family Stone, and in particular, Little Sister with I'm the One. You're the one, I'm the one. You're the one, I'm the one. Your sweetness is my weakness. Very interesting stuff, but it's almost the same time signature and everything. So there you go. All right, moving right along. Looking at a lot of people that were influenced by Sly Stone. And of course, we are going to hear from the Family Stone. Yeah, we just heard from Little Sister as well, doing a You're the One Part 1 and Part 2. Also in the set, we heard Bob Davis, my late friend Bob Davis from Soul Patrol, soulpatrol-patrol.com. When the site was up, he interviewed Freddie Stone of Sly and the Family Stone. We heard an extended mix from another departed friend of ours, Henry Jew, and he did Stan. And also we heard I Get High on You. Freddie Stone, You've Got to Love. Hey, music lover. And a few other things that we heard, but we already talked about that. Kevin Amoson with you. This is One to One. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be.
Oh,